Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council, for allowing me to come. I've kind of been back and forth with Amy the last few months, kind of going over some stuff with her. She asked me to come this evening and just kind of go over the audit with you guys. Happy to do that and happy to answer any questions. She had a couple of questions emailed to her that I will address. But if I don't do that adequately, please feel free to ask me. My name is Jeff Chitwood. I'm a partner at Gurdon Cordy & Chitwood in Boonville. We performed the audit this year, issued our audit report at the end of January. And I don't know if you guys have that in front of you, but I'm sure you've looked at it. It's a rather lengthy audit report, and there's a lot of stuff in it. And I'll kind of hit the highlights just to kind of to go over that for you, and then we can go from there. Our audit opinion was unmodified, which is the best audit opinion you can have. We did not realize anything that would have us modify the opinion or say that the financials were not materially correct. We don't go through in an audit and test every single transaction of the city. We will use materiality calculations to determine what we should test, go through, and then give an opinion saying if your financials are materially correct or incorrect. Based on being an unmodified opinion, your financials were materially correct in our opinion. The first few pages of the audit report after the opinion are the management's discussion and analysis. And that's done by management of the city, kind of summarizing. If you want to read 10 or 12 pages of an audit report, that's a good start. That will give a very high-level summary of how the audit went, high-level summary of the financials of the city for the year ended September 30th. And then with that leads directly into the financial statements of the city. A city as size of Marshall has several different funds, as you know, and that's something that's a little hard to understand without going through and actually reading through the entire audit report itself. But the first few pages of the financials are government-wide, so it includes everything on a full accrual basis. Accrual basis being we're recording fixed assets, receivables, payables, inventory for all the different funds. And that's lumped together in governmental activities and enterprise activities. Governmental activities being things such as the general fund, the street fund, the park fund, things like that. And then the enterprise activities being Marshall Utilities, all of those funds, as well as the sanitation fund of the city that the city accounts for here with Amy. So that's the first few pages, and everything is rolled into a very high-level description of those particular funds. And then from there, it kind of gets a little more detailed. We'll go back, and the next few pages are the governmental fund statements, and those will list out major governmental funds and then also summarize the non-major governmental funds into one column, with the detail being further back in the audit report. So those statements themselves, the governmental funds, are done on the modified accrual basis, which is what governmental accounting standards require. So in those, you will look at receivables and payables, but only those that are within the next 90 days expected to be collected or paid. So it's a little better, and this is the way governmental accounting used to work, it's a little better indication of kind of your near-term focus, not so much long-term as the government-wide statements are themselves, but those will show your near-term receivables, payables, what's expected to be received and collected in the next 90 days. After that will be the enterprise funds, and those are reported on the accrual basis again. I don't know, it's kind of confusing how you go back and forth, but enterprise funds, governmental accounting standards, are required to be reported accrual basis. So you've got all your receivables, payables, long-term debt, all of that kind of stuff showing up in your enterprise fund statements. After those statements are the footnotes, and there's several pages, 60 or 70 pages, I believe, of footnotes for the city. And those will show in detail support for the financial statements themselves. So it will have the long-term debt, your fixed assets, receivables, payables, cash, some of the cash disclosures, things such as that. One of the things that takes up a lot of footnotes nowadays is called GASB 68, and that has to do with your pension disclosure. The city is part of Loggers, and Loggers furnishes us some very detailed reports to complete those disclosures and complete the financial statements. I think it's a good thing for very large cities. It's not so good for mid-sized or smaller cities, in my opinion, but it's something that's in there, and it kind of shows what the city's portion of their pension liability is long-term. So that's all calculated by loggers. They have an actuary calculate that. They have their financial statements audited, and then they send that out to the various entities that are members of that organization. So they can include their portion of the liability or asset and those kind of things in their reports. And there's several footnotes in there that take up probably 10 pages of your financial statement that describe in great detail what that is. And that's new in the last 7 or 8 years. So if you looked at an audit report 10 or 12 years ago, it's not near as lengthy as it is now. That being the major reason why is that GASB 68 disclosure related to pensions. So that is in there, and there's some supplementary schedules as well that are required for the pension disclosures that are there for you to review also. Back behind the required supplementary information is some other supplementary information. And there are some budget reports comparing budget to actual for your various governmental funds. It will have your initial budget, your final budget, and then your actual revenues and expenses, and then a comparison between the two. So you can kind of see what was budgeted at the beginning of the year, the end of the year, if there were any amendments, and then what the actual revenues and expenses were. So those are in the back of the report after the footnotes and the pension disclosures. And then the final part of the audit itself is the internal control report. And that's a governmental report that's required by governmental auditing standards that will list out any compliance issues that were found during the audit, will list out any significant deficiencies or material weaknesses that were found during the audit. We would list that out in the internal control report. I know there are some questions on those, so I'll spend some time on those issues here. Like I said, if you have any questions, and Amy and I have talked about these things in great length the last several months. But one of the findings, and there were no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, and those are things, if there were things that we thought we needed to bring to the attention of the council and the mayor, we would put those there as significant deficiencies. If something wasn't being done, if cash reconciliations weren't being done, if other things similar to that were not being done, we would point that out in that section. We had no significant deficiencies or material weaknesses. The areas where we had some issues, and we've had these in the past with the city, are the compliance issues. None of these are new. Several of them have been in the audit reports if you go back for the last several years. Amy and I have talked about some ways to correct these going forward, and I think there's a plan in place for the city to do that. But I will go over those here briefly. Finding 2021-001 was basically the finding was that a deficit fund balance was budgeted. So if you look at these various funds, the Salt Fork Project Fund, the Community Center Fund, Westport 4 Fund, and Tennis Court Improvement Fund, and if you look at the pages of the audit report that show those budget schedules, if you look at the very bottom number, that bottom number is a negative. So there's a deficit fund balance budgeted. And so to correct that, number one, you can reduce your expenses or increase your revenues. Increasing your revenues is a hard thing to do in a government. You can watch your expenses. You can transfer money to those particular funds to cover that deficit. And I think that's something Amy has talked about potentially doing in this fiscal year to zero out some of those deficits that have been there for several years. The Salt Fork Project and Westport 4 have had no activity for many years, but they've got a negative fund balance sitting there. So if money can be transferred to those particular funds to zero that out, that will take care of that finding for those two funds. The Community Center Fund, it actually showed a net income this year and for the last couple of years, but in previous years, it showed a net loss, so that loss built up. The loss is going down because net income is being shown the last few years, but there still is a deficit fund balance in that particular fund. So either you can continue on and hopefully continue to show net income and eventually that will go away, or you can transfer money to that particular fund to get rid of that deficit. And then the Tennis Court Improvement Fund, that was only in the initial budget, not the final budget, where there was a deficit balanced or deficit budgeted. And it was very small, actually. There's not much activity in that. So something that can be done there is just to transfer money to that fund. And actually, in the final budget, there was a budget amendment done to transfer money to that fund, so there was not an issue with the final budget, but there was with the initial. So that was the problem with that particular fund. Finding 2021-003, if you have your audit in front of you, page 20 has a summarized general fund budget comparison. And basically, what we do as auditors is once the financials are put together, we look at the final line of expenditures. And if we compare the final budget expenditures to the final actual expenditures for the funds, and if the budget expenditures are less than the actual expenditures, basically the government overspent their budget without amending their budget to cover those expenditures, which happens quite often. It is not unique to City of Marshall. That happens a lot. It's a very frequent comment. And City of Marshall has had the issue at times in the past, and at times has not had the issue. I can tell you the reason there was the issue this year was because of the intergovernmental loan with Marshall Utilities of over $1 million that was drawn down in fiscal year 21. And so if you look on that page, page 20, there's actually there's interfund loan proceeds down below, or the revenue side of that, where basically the money came in from the utility department, and then the money was paid out up above in the expenditures. It wasn't budgeted for in either place. So the revenues are way under budget, and the expenses are way over budget. Netting together, it's no change because the incoming money was the same as the money going out. However, the expenditures line itself, which is what we look at, the actual expenditures were more than the budgeted expenditures. Does that make sense? That is what that comment was derived from. Without that transaction, there's no comment relating to the general fund, because the net of that, if you take that out, was only about $40,000 on the positive side, so it wouldn't have been an issue. So that's where that comment was derived from. And then the final finding was 2021-002. And it's related to the deficit budget balance. I talked about it, except it's not a budget, it's just a deficit fund balance itself. The two funds I mentioned before, the Salt Fork and Westport 4, have negative fund balances and have had those for at least 7 years. I went back today and looked back, and those have had negative balances for 7 years. Money can be transferred over to those funds to zero those funds out, because I don't think they're being used anymore. There was no activity the last several years. So that would take care of that issue. The community center had the same issue as I mentioned before. There's a negative fund balance from previous years. Going forward, I think if it continues as it has in the past couple of years, that is showing a net income. So that eventually will get down to where that's not showing a deficit. The other thing that can be done is to transfer money from your general fund to that fund to zero it out. Then going forward, hopefully the net income is showing, and that's what would be there, so there would be no deficit fund balance. And then the fourth one is the Park Improvement Fund. And the Park Improvement Fund transferred $165 out of that fund to another fund this year, and that was the only activity in the fund, but it only had $108 sitting there at the beginning of the year in that fund. So it was like a $53 issue, which is not a major thing, but again, we have to point that out. So just making sure that those type of things, if you don't have a lot of money in a particular fund or it's not being used a lot, making sure that's handled correctly, we'll take care of that comment. So those are the three comments. And I think, like I said, speaking with Amy, I think she has a plan in place to take care of the majority, if not all of those going forward. The deficit fund balances are more unusual than overspending your budget from what we see, but it's not totally unusual in municipalities. We see that quite often as well. Overspending your budget happens quite a bit. It's not a good thing, obviously, but it's not an unusual thing either. Budgets are hard to look at, and then when you come in at the end of the year, and then if we're, you know, proposing audit entries that the city could potentially make, that may affect what your actual balances are compared to what you were looking at towards the end of the year. So not an unusual comment. It's something that should be looked at and should be corrected, but it's not something that's very strange for cities themselves. Other than that, I did want to compliment city staff because there was some turnover towards the end of the fiscal year from when we came in to do the audit. A lot of Amy was new, kind of handling all of the financial stuff at that time. JD was new as the administrator. And really, there wasn't a beat missed for us coming in and doing the audit. Those guys did a great job, and the other staff too, they always do, did a great job providing information to us. Obviously, I mean, your year end is September 30th. Our audit report is dated the end of November, which is very quick. It's a testament to having everyone providing information to us where we can go through it and make sure that it's materially correct and then put your audit report together and get that out to you. And that includes the utilities as well, because their information is included in the cities, and they do a great job as well. So I did want to mention that, and Amy will do great in her new role. So I have no doubt in that. Do you have any questions that I haven't addressed?
Thank you,
sure.
I have a question regarding our enterprise fund that is segregated on our city side, which is the sanitation department.
Okay.
I've fielded questions before regarding budget line items for depreciation, mm-hmm. and also budgeted revenue over surplus. And if you could please flesh out just a little bit how those numbers get flushed down into the fixed assets of depreciable assets and also cash reserves.
Okay. Well, the depreciation is calculated on the straight line basis for the city. So if you purchase an asset, and this is a difference, if you have an asset purchased in the, say, parks department, it's going to go in as capital outlay on your financials. If you're not looking at those government-wide statements I talked about, it's going to go in as an expense. If you purchase an asset on the sanitation fund and enterprise fund, it's going to go in as a capital asset. So if you purchase a $100,000 truck and you think that truck's going to last 10 years, every year you will recognize expense of $10,000 related to that truck. So you'll have depreciation showing $10,000 every year. You'll also have that asset with the accumulated depreciation that's growing on your balance sheet. So the first year the accumulated depreciation will be $10,000, the next year $20,000, $30,000, until you get up to that $100,000 cost of the truck. On the income statement side of that, the only thing showing up yearly is your depreciation expense until you've reached the cost of your truck. So for 10 years or whatever the life is, that would be your depreciation expense related to that truck. So
essentially, the line item budget for depreciation would essentially crack cash reserves with no fund balance or funded surplus. The cash reserves would increase at the same rate that the assets decrease because of the depreciation.
Yes. So if you were to look at just the sanitation funds budget comparison, which is not in this audit report, that's kind of a weird thing. Also, the enterprise funds are not supposed to be show budget schedules in your audit report. So you can't look at that particular statement and compare depreciation expense compared to what was budgeted, but you can look at it internally. So yes, every year, whatever you budget for that depreciation would be for not only that asset you purchased the year before or that current year, but everything going back if it's still being depreciated. So if you have an asset that has a 7-year life, and you're in year 5, you would have that included. And the sanitation fund has, I didn't look for it before I came, but it has several assets being depreciated. So on that particular statement, if you were to look at that, it's not, the depreciation expense is coming out of your income and expense, but it's not affecting your cash at all. Does that make sense or answer your question? Because there's not an actual cash transaction. Now your fund balance, which is the difference between your assets and liabilities, it's affecting, but not your cash itself, because there wasn't an outlay of cash for that depreciation expense for the year.
But the entire reserve fund itself should remain static if there is no surplus or deficit in the operation of that enterprise fund for that given year?
Sure. Okay. Sure. There The one thing this report does have is a cash flow statement for those enterprise funds. And so for the enterprise funds, and again, it's only for those funds, it's not for your governmental funds. It's kind of the reverse of the other. It has that instead of the budget statements. That would show, hey, we purchased this much in capital assets this year. That's not showing up as a revenue expense, but that outlay went out, that cash went out. If we took out loans for that, cash came in for that. Depreciation is not shown on that cash flow statement. It's shown as a reconciling item, but it's not a cash transaction. There was no cash going in or out related to that, so it doesn't have any effect on cash.
Thank you, Ben.
Okay. You're welcome. Further questions?
I have one.
Okay.
Your $100,000 truck. When you bought it, you had to pay $100,000 for the truck.
Mm-hmm.
So then when the depreciation, say if it's a 10-year depreciation at $10,000 a year, does that go back as a revenue to pay off that initial $100,000?
No. So the way it works is once you buy, say you bought the truck October 1st in the city's case, to make it easy, right at the beginning of the year, and it was going to last 10 years, so we'd have $10,000 of depreciation per year. On that next September's financial statements, you would show on your balance sheet $100,000 of the truck's cost. You would also show on your balance sheet a negative asset account accumulated depreciation of $10,000. So if you netted those, you would show $90,000 left on that truck. You would also show then on your income statement $10,000 of expense for depreciation expense. So reducing, it's basically saying instead of the city taking a $100,000 hit on their net income year one, we're going to use that over 10 years, we estimate. So we're going to take $10,000 of expense every year. So it's showing up as an expense for the yearly depreciation expense on your income statement. It would never show as a revenue. Once that, say the truck lasts 20 years, it would show up as a $100,000 asset on your balance sheet and a $100,000 accumulated depreciation on your balance sheet. So your balance sheet would not have anything on it. Essentially, you would no longer have the depreciation expense years 11 through 20 or however long it lasted on your income statement because you've already recognized the expense up to the cost of that asset. Does that answer your question?
I guess.
Okay. Any further questions for auditor?